Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. All of our board members arrived on time, except for the treasurer, but he told us he was going to be a few minutes late, so we won't give him too much grief when he gets here. Yeah, he had a very long commute compared to other board members. I think I have it timed. It's 10 minutes from here to the Capitol with traffic. But he does have a lot of meetings. Anyway, welcome. We will go ahead and proceed with the staff briefing. So we'll turn the time over to Candace for a couple items for review.
Good morning. If you haven't signed in, please sign in. This is the third meeting of the first trimester of fiscal year 2019. Please excuse Commissioner Jack Lytle. He has indicated that he won't be in attendance. I believe that he's in Washington, D.C. The agenda indicates 13 new projects today listed for board review. And that's indicated in yellow on your financial sheet. Lunch is scheduled for 11:30 for the board. It was planned to be a working lunch. Maybe you guys will be so efficient that it will be social. The fund summary in board docs for this meeting, 1-2, indicates how much funding is less. Please review those numbers. The balance indicated is if the projects are funded as requested. The fund will not operate in the negative. We will never overextend the fund without the resources to accommodate. We rely heavily on the review and allocation of funding through the DWS finance people. Thank you for being here. Raise your hands. We appreciate their timely response and communication of available funds. This board could provide much-needed infrastructure, as you know, and that's what we do. The bonus fund is a low-interest opportunity. It's a great opportunity at 2.5%. And the good thing about CIB loans is that they can go 30 years. Often public funding does not extend that long. USDA can go 40 years, but CIB goes 30. Also, it's important to keep the mineral lease fund revolving, wherein 0% interest loans are a possibility. The funds in the mineral lease account have been primarily due to prior authorized loans and those repayments that come back in to the board. New mineral lease is now flowing back into the account as we are seeking an almost completely accommodated the throughput and the UDOT tax fund. But stay tuned. Just a friendly reminder of Utah Code, the impact fund administered by the impact board shall keep a portion of the fund revolving. I keep reminding you that because you guys are so Christmassy. Please sign in again. A review of each application will occur prior to the board's discussion. The next meeting will be a review and funding meeting. We've accommodated October 4th with some of the plans that were submitted in order to accommodate the electronic meeting, which went quite well. But October's meeting will be another long meeting. It will be here in Salt Lake. The November meeting, however, is in Moab. And we will be providing a sign-up sheet at the next meeting that indicates how many nights you'd like and if you're bringing someone. That's to this point.
Great. Thank you, Candace. Any questions on those items, financial review or upcoming meeting dates and location? I also want to note that there will still be a transfer that happens near the general session of some of our mineral lease funds to the Utah Department of Transportation to complete the swap of funds, and that's, I think, $8 million. So even though it shows that we have $3 million available, that's really minus $5 million. So just keep that in mind, unless we want to start pulling from other accounts that we need to shift many of these grant requests into loans. So I'll just make that comment. And we'll move on to second item, which is the welcome and introductions. I already welcomed, so let's just go through introductions. We'll start over with Greg Galecki.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Greg Galecki. I'm with the Water Quality Board.
My name's Bruce Adams. I am a San Juan County Commissioner representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Good morning. Steve Farrell representing the Board of Water Resources.
Good morning and happy Thursday. My name is Nagi Zanati from sunny St. George and representing UDOT Commission.
I'm Chris Reed, the Admin Assistant.
Allison Garner with the Attorney General's Office, Counsel to the Board.
Jonathan Hardy, Chair of the Board.
Good morning. My name is Keith Heaton. I'm with the State Community Development Office.
Candace Powers, Community Development Office, Housing and Community Development, CIB Fund Manager.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Duchesne County.
Jim Matson, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Five County Association of Governments.
Commissioner Tudor Ogden, Sevier County, representing the AOG of the Six County area.
Mayor Dean Baker, Naples City, representing Uinta County.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division. And up in the corner here, we have Brenda Brown.
That's good. I'm glad you got to Brenda. I was going to do that. But, yes, Brenda Brown, fast at our technology booth over here, making sure we've got everything going properly up on the screen and in the microphones. So thank you for joining us. We'll go to item three, which is the approval of the minutes. You have them before you. Is there a motion?
So I'd make a motion.
Okay, I think we got the so move from Mr. Zanotti, and he's kind of the minutes guru, so I'm going to give him the maker of the motion.
I'll second it.
And a second from Councilman Farrell. All in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Those pass unanimously. Minutes are approved. We'll move on to our projects now, and our first applicant is Monroe City. We'll invite them to come up to the table at this time. We'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing while they come up, and then we'll hear from the applicant.
Monroe City is on the agenda today requesting funding for the 2019 street improvements. This is the city completed a pavement assessment on all the streets in town to establish a pavement management plan. This puts the overall need for the project approach in rehabilitation to reconstruction. So they're doing most all of their streets, accommodating repair for severe edge breaking, high roughness and cracking, aging, and environmental failures. The proposed treatments are stated to be the best cost benefit. The applicant has stated that the project elements are critical, and they continue to look for other options to take care of less critical needs. Monroe City is working with the Utah Department of Transportation on getting classified as a major collector, which will give them access to a different funding stream. They've added more paved roads, in 22 miles now of paved roads, and they've indicated that paved roads require some severe maintenance, and that's what they're going to do. There's a letter of support in board docs from the Monroe City Mayor and Council. It's in administrative content in your packet. There is to be a tax increase. And my question would be, is this part of the general obligation bond referendum? Because their request is $4,997,000 to CIB, $1,149,000 is suggested to be a 20-year, 2.5% loan, and it's an obligation, a general obligation bond, which requires a vote of the public. That's what was indicated in their application. A portion of this is also a $350,000 10-year, 2.5% loan, which will be accommodated through BNC revenue. And then they're requesting a $3,498,000 grant. a 50-50 on this grant and the $1,149,000 loan, 20 years. A loan in, would be $2,323,000 loan, 20 year at 2.5%, which would be $149,000 payment a year. I will turn the time over to you.
Okay, got our applicants at the table. Do you want to introduce yourselves? You'd need to push the button. That round thing should have a green light there. Okay, you can introduce yourselves for the record, and then maybe add anything you want to that description and possibly cover those questions Candace asked. If not, they'll probably be asked by somebody else. So go ahead.
Johnny Parsons, Mayor of Monroe City.
Michael Matthew, City Councilman in charge of the streets.
Devin Magleby, Monroe City Public Works Director and also over the roads, the streets.
I'm Darren Robinson, engineer for the city.
James Christensen, also engineer of the city.
Got the whole team up here. Okay, anything you want to add to the project description or what's happening?
Well, Chair and CIB committee, we want to thank you for the opportunity to come today and present our needs for Monroe City. We appreciate what CIB's done for us in the past, and they've been very helpful for our community, and we do appreciate that. The council's decided that our streets are in a need of coming up to a standard that we can maintain, and we feel like we started out with a lot bigger project and we made it down to where we figure we can make it work and make something we can maintain for 20 years. And the city's raised property taxes, and that we had a truth in taxation meeting, and that has been done and that is in place. We went up 100.28%. So our final budget for 2018 and 19 is $474,700, and that's to run our whole street system for that year. Thank you.
Something we wanted to make sure that the board is aware of, approximately 15 years ago, we took advantage of some free roto mill tailings from other projects in the county that were done by, I believe, UDOT. And we used that to pave new roads in the city that were supposed to last us, I think, approximately 7 years at the time. That was 15 years ago. And over that time, you know, our city's budget didn't really increase to be able to maintain all of those roads that we added in an adequate way. And so they've just deteriorated rather than been maintained. And so at this point, that's why we're looking at the project we're looking at is, you know, we paid for and completed an evaluation of the streets, had, you know, we did that in preparation to see what we actually needed to do. Instead of just think, well, we need to redo all our roads, we put together a plan, evaluated how they've deteriorated, what roads needed, what types of treatments, in order to bring them up to a service life that we can maintain with our budget. And that's how we came to the number of that 100% tax increase. We didn't go out and say, let's increase taxes 100%. We figured out how much we needed in funds in order to do a project such as this, and then still have money remaining in our budget to be able to maintain them on an ongoing basis so that we can get that full 20-year service life out of a project such as this, rather than redo the roads and then not have funding or be short funding, which would leave us with a shorter service life. So we've gone through that process to make sure that what we're proposing is a project that the city can sustain for the next 20 years to make sure that we don't have to do our roads again, we don't have to go through this type of process again, or go through a 100% tax increase again. That was, you know, something we thought about very heavily, and when we had our truth in taxation meeting, we were actually pleased with the public support that we had, because Monroe City hasn't had a property tax increase in over 30 years. So the public actually supports the project. They really want to see us do something with our roads and improve our infrastructure that way. As the mayor mentioned, we started out, you know, our initial results of our evaluation and pavement preservation plan suggested a $7.5 million project to bring those roads up, but we've been able to go through each individual road, decide what we actually needed, and been able to pull that down to that below $5 million so that it makes it feasible for us as a city to do the project. Otherwise, there's no way that we could afford it. Even with that 100% tax increase and what we're asking the board to do with that 70-30 split, that's what we can afford. That 100% tax increase is fully going to support that 20-year bond payment. So that's where we're at right now. We feel like we've done a lot of the legwork and made sure that this is a project that the city can actually afford to do and that it will benefit us long-term rather than just a short-term patch on our streets.
Okay, let's go to the board for questions on this project. Commissioner Adams.
Remind me, do you guys have a public sewer system?
No, we do not.
Okay. And you've thought about not ever digging these roads up to put the public sewer system in when it comes?
This definitely came up in the truth and taxation meeting. We weren't going to bring it up here. As many of you know, that was something that probably should have been done when the offer was made by CIB at the time. I guess what we're saying as far as the council, the way we're looking at it right now, unless the board saw something different, we're looking that we don't need one for 20 years. I guess I'm open for...
I just know cities like to dig up new streets and they get put in, so I'm a county guy. anyway, I didn't know if you wanted to change the project to a sewer project. Come back later.
Well, personally, I wouldn't mind doing that, but I don't know if the funding's there.
You know, and also in answer to that, we had we've worked with the water quality to make sure that we're not, on the verge of being forced to do that, that we're not in violation of any laws or anything in contaminating water sources. We have test wells in the city that have been drilled that water quality is going to come in and test three times a year on an ongoing basis. And we spoke with John Chartier, the local water engineer, and, talked with him about what he thinks, the prospect is of that happening. And he thinks we are safe for this 20-year period of time, that there won't be anything forced on us. And so as a city, we're making a decision to move forward with the streets project and put the sewer system on the back burner.
Sorry, I brought it up.
No, that's fine. But no, we've thought about it, and we've done, some research to make sure that that's not a possibility, that we wouldn't do this project, and then 5 years from now, they'd come in and say, hey, that's going to happen. So.
Okay, I appreciate the fact that you've thought ahead and thought about it, and that. Candace, can we get them on camera promising to dig it?
One thing we are doing, and we did put in place as a council when we went through this process before, when we tried to get that sewer, we put a fee in that goes to a sewer assessment. So we are collecting money each month, and it's kind of a sore spot with a few people.
Sure.
But in my experience, if you don't have something to bring to the table when you do go to the table, you don't have nothing. And so we are trying to make that fund so that we do have something to put towards that when it does happen.
Let me ask you another question. It's probably in the documentation. I just don't remember it. How often do you think you'll have to, in your maintenance program on this new blacktop, how often are you going to chip seal or whatever to maintain the integrity of the same? You know what I'm trying to say.
It's in our budget to chip seal every 7 years.
Every seven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor Parson.
Yes.
I was reading your public hearing minutes last week, and obviously I was reading it out loud because my wife heard it, and she's to the point of the community has not raised taxes for over 30 years. Over she there. Said, we're moving to Monroe tomorrow. I want to know your secrets. If you are that efficient, that diligent in your community, why can't you just come to the Washington, D.C. and teach those people how to manage the rest of the country?
Well, the thing of it is our property tax for a year from our citizens has been about $95,000. And I looked at that and said, how have we run a city on $95,000 a year? I think we've been very efficient. I don't think we do a lot of frills or do things that we don't need. But it came to a point on this street project that we have got to have something to put towards the table. I actually got a phone call from the Trib that says, oh, you're the second highest property tax raise. And we talked for a minute, and I says, yeah, and we haven't raised in over 35 years. And he says, okay, that's enough. There was no more discussion. But I don't know. I guess we do have a little power company that we run some hydros that helps us fund our city a little bit. But as far as we're kind of a bedroom community to Richfield. Richfield's got most of the businesses, and we're fine with that. We're good with that. And so as far as not raising in 35 years, I don't have the answer to that.
Is that a record for the county or the community or the state or the country? Because I have never heard anybody running the community with no taxations in over 35 years.
Well, and that was one of the things that came up in the Truth and Taxation meeting was if somebody asked a question or something, I'd say, do you think that lifestyle's changed in 35 years? Do you think we're justified in raising after 35 years? And, you know, pretty much okay with.
The last question I would like to ask. So you have a filed application to UDOT to change the status of the community so you can get some funding. Can you explain a little bit more for the board what that application entails?
I mean, I can, you know, we have schools in our city, in Monroe City, that service the whole South Sevier area. So everything south of Richfield comes into Monroe for school. And there's a couple of streets in our area that we hope to be considered as major collector routes. Mm-hmm. So as people come into the city, they're always using certain roads, which is, you know, would be 3rd East, comes in and goes right to the middle school and then straight down Center Street to the elementary school. And then we have 3rd West, which comes from another community would come into Monroe from that direction and access the high school as well as the elementary school. So those major collector routes, we've got traffic counters out that we had. We hired Jones and DeMille to put traffic counters out to be able to get some traffic counts to see what kind of traffic we have on those roads. And then we'd like to pursue that UDOT money for those major collector routes because they'll assist in the financing for road improvements and projects on those roads. Joan Highway question, sorry about that.
Hey, one other thing, there's Main Street, there's 3.2 miles of Main Street and going out towards the high school that is state highway. So that is maintained by them, and that's not even one of the ones that we would have, you know, on this list. I think we're at 22 miles of oil for our community, and that's not counting.
Right. The main street.
The state highway.
And you're here for the existing asphalted roads to maintain. So what about those? You have about 3-4 of the dirt roads. What is going to happen to them? Because if you add those, then you're going to run out of budget even to maintain the existing roads.
We had some of them added before we started coming back. They will have the mag put on them. Okay. That's part of the deal to mag them. They're not as... they don't have as many residents per se. There's the roads that we're picking to do, the residents can access their properties from them roads.
I'm moving into that road, just remember that.
We've also talked as a council in regards to the ones that would be remaining dirt roads that, you know, as we talked about, our property tax increase is the first one in 35 years, that as, you know, this 20-year plan, there will be times where we should probably raise our taxes in between now and then in smaller increments and possibly use that money to fund, you know, additional road projects during that time. So we've selected the roads that we, you know, from 3rd East up 800 South, if you see the map, that's a road that there's been several houses built on. Those citizens have come to the city council meetings multiple times requesting that we pave that street. And so that's one that's on our list to pave with new pavement. Out south of town on Bowman Road is in the city limits, but there's only a couple of houses out there. It's primarily farming. And so we're not going to pave that at this time. But we would like to, you know, ultimately pave that. But we'll do that with a phased project that will have sufficient funding to be able to include that in our maintenance plan on an ongoing basis.
Thank you.
Councilman Farrell?
Did I understand you did 100% tax increase, and then you're going out for general obligation bond as well this year?
So the tax increase will cover the bond.
Oh,
we've just
will.
Been working with the bond attorney on how to step through all that.
So will that go to the voters?
That's part of that process that they're going through.
So what happens if that don't pass?
That would be a problem. Obviously, the way the bond attorney has couched this is that there doesn't have to be a vote because of the percentage of increase or percentage of loan amount for this project is less than the amount required that requires a vote. So the truth and taxation meeting and the council's action is adequate based
so
on
it don't go for
the
a general
attorney.
Vote then.
Right, so
yeah.
It won't go for a general vote.
Yeah, that's the way I understood it, that it didn't have to go to a vote.
Mr. Galecki, and I'll come over to this side of the room, so I see there's some hands there.
Maybe you've been to some of these meetings, because my mantra for cities is, I live on a gravel road. If you can't afford to maintain it, keep it a gravel road. That sounds like you've done that, you've prudent planning. So I appreciate that. Is 800 South, is that one of those? I lost a little bit in the conversation. Is that going to be paved, or is that going to be...
There's portions of it. Where it comes off Main Street right there, a little bit right there, from there over going east to there would be the dust inhibitor, and then from there up there's housing all along that road now. And that would be oiled. And then over on the other side, from there out, no, from the green one out.
Keep going left.
Right there, from the green one out, that's all been developed now. There's about 10 homes on that road right there. And that portion right there would be oiled.
Yeah, so they would be able to access their homes on pavement. From either direction, but not directly off of Main Street. So for the 3rd East, they would come off 5th South, go to 3rd East, and then up 8th South, which is what they mostly do now because it is pavement on 3rd East. So we took that piece out of the project when we were trimming costs because that's pretty low use from Main Street up. They usually come through the city part anyway.
My first reading of this, when I looked at it, is like, you're asking for pie in the sky and just asking for everything. But it looks like you've done a lot of diligent work and you're looking to move forward in the right approach.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mr. Ogden, the mayor.
I just want to make a few comments since Monroe's right there. Of course, they are a rivalry, you know, from Ridgefield. But anyway, I appreciate Monroe and all the work that they've done in this project. They are a bedroom community. They don't have a lot of income as far as industry or businesses there. And I think that they've done a real good job in putting this together. Looks like they've done a lot of research. As mentioned, you know, the 30 years they haven't had a tax increase, I've got to commend them for that. And 22 miles of pavement. And they have taken a lot of roads and have put that into phases. I think that I think they've got a good plan in place. They've done a lot of due diligence on their part. I just want to make that comment.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, just as I was reading in here about your solution, you talk about pulverization, cement treating, and then chip seal and asphalt on there. Just says that they're for many years. You guys have a prediction in each of the different ones, how long they'll last?
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Neil, we like to
Neil. That's a question to get harder.
I got the bishop to my left. So, so as we went through and as we assessed the condition of the roads, and we're able to really, you know, calculate a remaining service life in years, you know, for each street, you know, that leads you to a different type of treatment that you go and you would do. So right off the bat, you know, kind of a brand new road, you can assume 20 years of life, you know, if you were to bring it up to that level and never do anything with it. And so that's kind of where we started, you know, with the higher project number, and we realized that wasn't financially feasible. You know, so eventually started, you know, working with different types of treatments. You know, as you can see, there's all sorts of different kind of treatments on here, you know, kind of considering where the more traffic is versus less. And ultimately come to a number where we feel like we could bring the roads with this project up to a level that the city can then, with their planned budget, to maintain, to keep them at a level for at least 20 years, you know, to move forward. And so that's how we came to the conclusion of the different treatment types that are shown across the map. Does that make sense?
And the life really varies depending on the treatment. Chip seal of 7 years to a full reconstruct of
20
plus years.
Right. I just was wondering because really the tailing mills that you put down, we did that and they don't last. There's not enough oil or anything, and I hate to just to have you do a coat seal on something that's going to be in a very short time.
Those are the roads that we're doing the full base. Those are the roads that we're primarily doing the full replacement on in this plan, are the ones that we did that rotomill.
Yeah, we feel pretty good we got 15 years out of them.
That's good. Commissioner Adams.
Are you willing to accept the motion?
Let me ask a couple questions first. Can you talk about, you've mentioned that you've extended some roads, what you're doing with impact fees and how those roads have been paid for? Yeah, you've indicated development has, you know, pushed some, you know, additional paved roads out. So can you talk about how that's been done?
As far as the ones that are out there now or the ones that we're redoing, that we're going to put in, the new ones?
Well, both. I'd like to know what your past policy has been on requiring people who are developing out in the where there isn't a paved road, if they're paying for that, or if the city is what they've done in paving those roads.
Okay, on a subdivision, if it's under, I'm going to say, a half acre lots, they have to do curb and gutter. They have to put that in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an acre bigger, they just have to do asphalt. They don't have to do curb and gutter. So the subdivisions that are going in, yeah, there is an impact, and they have to put them in place. But some of the ones were put in prior to them impact fees, and a lot of them are some of them are ones that have had that rotomill put in after, and so them will have to be reconstructed. But there is impact fees on them now.
And they've been built to a certain standard that the city wants to have them maintained?
Yes.
Yeah, any new development was built to a city standard, which is 6 inches of gravel, and you know, it's all written up in a book, and the developer was required to initially install that asphalt.
Okay.
From the beginning.
Okay, seeing no further questions. Yes, one more question, Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor, is any of roads or segments of roads affected by the trucks carrying coal from your community? No?
No.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Adams?
It's green.
Okay,
yep.
We really like to lend money. We don't like to grant it right now, but I'll brave an initial proposal. I'd like to increase the amount of your loan and have you keep your cash in your pocket. I would propose, and you can decide whether it be 20-year or 10-year, but I'd like to propose that we loan them 1.694 million at 2.5%, and that be broken up into 10 and 20 years, however they want to do that, and then grant them 3.498 million for a total of 5,192.
I'll second that.
Okay, so the motion from Commissioner Adams, let's see if I can restate this correctly. $3,498,000 grant, a $1,694,000 loan that can be split between a 10-year and a 20-year by the applicant at 2.5%.
Yeah, and there's no cash. They keep their cash.
And that was seconded by Mr. Galecki. So further discussion on that motion or questions? Any feedback from the applicant to that motion?
Allowing us to keep our cash is very helpful because we plan to actually use any cash that we have for maintenance of the roads and to help improve drainage as well. So.
And that you can afford the increased debt service with an additional $195,000?
I believe so, yes.
Do you have some specificity right now on whether you'd want that in the 10-year product or the 20-year product?
In the 20.
The 20? Mm-hmm. Okay. No, the $195,000 increase in the 20. So I'm going to get a little more accurate with this and just do the calculation here. Yes. Okay. So the motion before us is a $1,344,000 20-year 2.5% loan, a $350,000 10-year 2.5% loan, and a $3,498,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that'll be placed on the priority list for the funding meeting next month. Greg Galecki. Okay, we'll see you next month at the funding meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, our next applicant is Salina City, and we'll invite them up to the table and turn the time over to Candace for a staff briefing on this application.
Salina City is bringing an application to the board for repairs to the Blackhawk Arena. They have $60,000 in cash. They're requesting $102,000 in grant. Salina City runs the Blackhawk Arena, which is used by all of Sevier County for rodeos, BMX races, all kinds of stuff. This project consists of installing 4 new ceiling exhaust fans, overhead radiant tube heater system, new double entrance doors, remodel the restrooms, new foyer curtain, security cameras, rock and culvert for drainage channel. So once again, Salina City MBA owns the arena. I made a phone call, and that's what I was informed. items are over the budget set aside for arena repairs. So they do have $60,000 in cash. They're requesting $102,000 in grant. A 20-year loan at 2.5% would be a payment of $6,550 a year for that $102,000 grant.
Okay. Want to introduce yourselves for us?
I'm Salina City Mayor Ted Maxwell.
Well,
Ryan Savage with Savage Albrecht Engineering. This project is, as Candace just said, is to replace a bunch of the has failed at times, and they've band-aided it and duct taped it back together and kept it running as much as they could. But at this point, it needs to be replaced. And Salina is not only putting in $60,000 in cash, but their crews, and we've got the Sevier County inmate crew that will help with the installation of most of the items. And so we feel like that's going to increase it to where, with the in-kind, we're going to be about a 50-50 with what Salina puts in and the grant.
Okay. What are the board for questions on this particular project? Or maybe you can address the possibility of a loan first thing on this.
Okay. So as you guys are aware, that Salina just did a huge water. They had major growth out on the south end, and they just did a huge water system, and they're still paying some loans off on the Black Hawk itself, and they just don't think that they can take on any more debt right at this time.
How does the revenue source work for the arena? I know it's owned by the NBA, but who pays to use it?
They have multiple ways that they pay. They rent the arena for events, which the events, Salina helps the arena at the end of the year breaks to even, but what it does is it brings in all the revenue for the motels and all the money it brings in for everybody to use, and then the money spreads out through Sevier County. So they just kind of do a rental fee of the arena for whoever hosts the events, and that's kind of how that's paid. And then whoever rents the arena takes the money back as prize money, so the county is not trying to put up a bunch of money to cover the prize money like a lot of other counties do. Salina and Sevier County is not Heber City or Park City or any of them, and we're hard enough competing to get the events that we do get, and that gives the participants a way to earn their money back as prize money, and that keeps the county revenue coming in throughout your hotels and all your other revenues, restaurant revenues, and it's a big draw to the county for everybody there. So,
other questions, Mr. Zanotti?
Just a comment. They also have a 2.5% on the $650,000 that we gave them for the pool, if you remember last year. So they have a debt to pay.
Yeah, we've turned that back.
Yeah.
Oh, you just said
that. Yeah, the city couldn't afford to take the debt at the time, so that's in a future project coming. $650,000 didn't even come close to the repairs that it needed, so they've turned it back to take the debt off. And currently the Black Hawk Arena has two loans on it. We're paying out about $80,000 a year currently until them loans go away, which we have a few years left on one, and then the other one won't end until 2039. So we have a lot of loans already on that building specifically to take another loan.
With that explanation, I would like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to accept their grant, $102,000, with a cash of $60,000.
Okay, there's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Second.
A second from, so the motion's from Mr. Zanotti, second from Commissioner Ogden to approve a $102,000 grant. Discussion of that motion.
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
It's in order.
I guess, I don't feel comfortable on, the recreation portion of it, and that, I don't really, the building authority, I don't see what kind of, debt that they really have. But what they did submit, I see they're going to be retiring within a few years. I'd submit that we do
let them keep some cash, but do a $120,000 loan, 2.5% for 20 years, and then let them keep the rest of the cash.
So the substitute motion is $120,000 loan, 2.5%, 20 years.
Yep.
Is there a second to that substitute motion? Hearing none, we'll go back to the original motion. Further discussion to that motion. Seeing none, I'll put to the question. All in favor of approving a $102,000 grant, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
So Commissioner Winterton and Greg Galecki oppose. Any other opposition that I missed on that? Okay. All others in favor. That motion carries. That will be on the priority list for the funding meeting next month. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Just there. A note on that last Salina application. I am not aware of a letter that withdrew the swimming pool, so I'm respectfully requesting that if that indeed has been pulled, that you send a letter to the CIB indicating that it has been withdrawn.
Thank you. So our next application is from Mighton City. We'll invite them up to the table at this time, and we'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Mighton City is presenting a funding request for the 2019 Culinary Water Improvement Project. I'd like to express appreciation to Mayor Cooper for culling this project down as it was first submitted. It was quite a collective of activities to be accommodated in Mighton City, but this is strictly the 2019 Culinary Water Improvement Project. The request is for a $1,270,000 grant. The current application consists of adding 8,800 linear feet of 16-inch PVC pipe from the water tank to Mighton City, including pipe crossings, a new pump station, a new building, SCADA system, and road and river crossings, etc. Now, the proposed pipeline runs through tribal ground, so I believe that they have that easement from Ute Tribe, and it was dated back in October 1939. Are you going to have to fight that?
No.
Okay. Mighton City has gone over their allotted flow 350 times since 2012. Mighton City should be getting 330 gallons per minute as per state code, and they are not. They're getting about 235. This project would put them back in compliance with state code on water resource requirements. My question is the public aware of the revised project? In your public hearing, it was a big thing, but they're aware that this water system is going in?
Yes.
So let's have you introduce yourselves for us and maybe answer some of those questions.
Mayor Kathleen Cooper, Mighton City. Do I push that down?
Okay. The green light's on, so it's working now.
Oh, okay. Mayor Kathleen Cooper, Mighton City. Good to be here.
Chris Thompson, CIFCO Engineering.
Brett Reynolds, CIFCO Engineering.
Great.
Go ahead, do you want to?
I was just going to comment that the overall project would make it so they have enough water rights. This project would help in that process. But the overall, so this is a phased project.
No.
Okay, let's go to the board with questions on this project.
I got one.
Commissioner Winterton.
Mayor, what kind of revenue do you come off from with your water? Are you selling to industry at all?
Minimally. Very minimally at this point.
So do you have an idea of what the annual revenue is off from water?
I can get that for you. Is it here? Do we have that figure?
Mayor, can I get you to pull one of those microphones close to you?
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Ron, Commissioner, that's all listed in one lump sum here. I don't have it broken out for that. Sorry.
Well, I was just looking at DEQ's review of the project, and they make mention of the algae straining that's going to be taking place over at the treatment plant, adding 450 to your connections. And so the question is, if you're raising 450 for one project and you raise it another dollar, dollar and a half for this and take this in a loan?
It would be very hard to do that. We would rather not. But if a loan is proposed, I can take it back to my council.
Okay. Let's see.
And we are aware of that. We do have some sewer monies that we could possibly lower our sewer rates. Our community is such low-income people. We have a kind of a skewed magi because of the fact that we have about three people in town that make a lot of money, and the rest of them are low income. So, but it sort of skews what it's really like. So there's a possibility of possibly raising our water rates and then lowering the sewer rate a little bit so that it doesn't affect those people so hardly, you know, so bad.
Okay.
Right now.
Oh, okay.
Commissioner Adams.
You say this is a phased project, so I'm wondering, you're planning on coming back for other phases, is that correct?
Yes.
And tell us what the phased project is that you're trying to do. What are you trying to accomplish with all of the phases?
Okay. Chris, can I let you address that so that you know?
Correct. So we're trying to address getting enough to meet state code for water supplies and then fire flow. There's no fire flow through the city. The overall project also does some safety aspects. It pipes the canals. They've already had one child die in the canal. So the overall project would create a secondary system. The secondary system would supplement the culinary water and reduce the demand on the culinary water so they'd have enough water. As Candace mentioned, you know, 350 times since 2012, they've gone over their allotted use. So they really need to find another way to supplement their culinary water.
In little towns, we have no shortage of projects that we could come in for, but this just seemed very, very important at this point that we need to start addressing it in a timely manner, in a progressive way.
I think probably, if you haven't thought about it, you ought to think about probably CIB is not going to grant you money for the entire project, for all of the phases. So it might be at some point you need to decide which part you want to take loan on. I think that's kind of what Ron's trying to tell you. Is it better to take loan at this point and then maybe the CIB could give you a grant on another phase, or do you want to try for a grant on this one and then come
behind
what,
door one, or number two, or door number one? I hadn't considered that, but that's a good observation. I don't know. You just presented that to me.
All right,
Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor Cooper.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, I'm sorry. The one thing I wanted to tell you is that we're currently applying through the division, the RDA and the Division of Drinking Water. We've got applications we're getting ready also for this. We just haven't been turned in, but we're getting them ready. So we're aware that this can't be the be-all and end-all of the funding source.
And I will say, I think USDA has opened up a lot of money for infrastructure.
That's right.
I haven't really dealt with them yet, but I know they've talked a lot about in meetings that I've been in that they have money for infrastructure needs, and you might check and see what their requirements are, how they could help you as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor Cooper, on looking at the history, on 2012, you had grant of $772 million for the water improvement.
I think it was 7,000. Yeah. Is that 7 million?
Oh, sorry, 772,000.
Okay.
Stand corrected. And 2013, you also had 539,000 borrowed money. Both says water system improvement. Are they related to this project, or they're separate projects that we should know?
They were separate projects, sir.
So nothing for this going forward?
Well, the water tank will, that's where the water will go to, right?
Yeah, they're trying to minimize the source, the requirement on the source. They built a larger tank to try to remove the peaks out of the system. And so that, it was related in a way, the project is, both are listed in the master plan.
So this money going forward is going to be continuum of the 2013?
Or that they go towards the same goal, but this is that's a separate project. This phase project going forward is a new project.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Councilman Farrell, then I'll come over to the side of the room.
You indicated that you want to conserve your culinary water by putting your secondary system. Do you have any idea how much of your culinary water is being used for outside irrigation at this point?
So culinary demand is about 190 gallons per minute, and then I think it was 370 is the total, and so we're looking at probably about 40% is secondary water.
Have you considered going to the Board of Water Resources for a secondary project and to conserve your culinary grade water? Would that eliminate some of the need for the piping?
No, we haven't.
Slime sites?
No, but we could.
Commissioner Winterton.
A follow-up. I'm a little foggy. You say you've got an application into water quality or drinking water.
We're getting it together.
Is it for this project or for other projects?
For this project.
When would that application be heard over there?
When will you have that in?
I think that'd be heard. It's due reports.
We would make it for the financial assistance committee next week, so we would have 3 months for the whole process.
3 months for the microphone that probably didn't pick up all that for a decision on it.
Okay. Well, let me throw in a motion out there. There's no other. I would make a motion that we fund this half grant, half loan at be $635,000, 20 years at 2.5%. That would be an annual payment somewhere around $39,000. Would that be doable?
Well, that's a motion on the table. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
There's a second from Commissioner Mattson. So that motion is a $635,000 grant and a $635,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Discussion to that motion. Mr. Zanotti.
In lieu of the fact that they have already applied for some other sources and resources, should we just wait, put in this pending until?
Next month.
June.
Okay.
Okay. It would be
but
next month.
They wouldn't have that in until October. It would be 3 months.
But we can discuss with the Division of Water, Drinking Water, to see
if they can
what they would award for this. We'll get a ballpark.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Galecki.
That was actually, I looked at 25%, you know, a 25% loan. But
thank you.
At 50%, that adds only 40 cents a day per, you know, per hookup to have secondary water. So I think that's still a pretty good deal.
So 25.75, is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not making a motion. Okay. I'm just saying I knew that was 20 cents, so this is probably 40 cents a day. So I think it's to have a secondary system and to get into fire compliance. Plus, it seems like they have various projects they need to look at to make sure this is the priority that they want. So I think that's a good.
I think the point is that she needs to, the council needs to decide which projects that are a priority that they would really want help with a grant and those that they could afford loan-wise.
Yeah.
So the overall project would be about $6.9 million. So this would not get us, this would help us and start utilizing that water. Currently, 20% of the people receive water out of the ditches. More and more people are switching to sprinklers, so there less people are using that ditch water. So we would need to do other projects to be able to have a full working secondary system. The concept is that they would convert the culinary system. The culinary system has a lot of improvements. This will get fire flow to the start of town, but there still won't be fire flow throughout the whole system. So the thought was is that the existing culinary system is capable of providing secondary water to the entire town, so they would redo the culinary system or do a new culinary system, and then the secondary system would provide the culinary water to the town. So that's the overall project.
They're all good projects, and you know, kudos to you to think and be conservative in how we could help. In that, I just think that looking at what money the CIB board has available, grant-wise, we just don't have lots of money for grants, and it helps us as a board to stretch the money if we can do loan. So I stick with my motion.
Well, I think USDA has a grant program for infrastructure. I'd really encourage you to look at the USDA infrastructure program. I think you're a community that would probably qualify.
Okay. You've worked with USDA before. They're very good to work with.
Okay. See no further questions or comments on the motion. We'll put it before you. All in favor, the motion is $635,000, 2.5%, 20-year loan, and a $635,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passed unanimously. We'll see you next month at the funding meeting. You'll be placed on the priority list.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, our next project is Hanna Water and Sewer District. Invite them to the table at this time and turn the time over to Candace for a staff briefing on this.
Hanna Water and Sewer District is bringing an application for water system improvements, which includes a water extension and a Tabiona turnout. The request is for $298,400 in grant funding. There is a special state legislative appropriation for this of $1,500,000. The current MAGI for Hanna, just note right out of the chute, is 3.86% of income. This consists of placing 3.2 miles of 12-inch C900 PVC water main, 8-inch and 10-inch valve turnouts to feed major users, and 6 fire hydrants. There are 2 SR35 highway crossings, 1 river crossing, a buried concrete vault, SCADA. There will also be a new electrical service connection. Right-of-way permits will be processed with UDOT and the BIA Ute Tribe. So I hope that's all well. The district has been involved in infrastructure planning efforts with the town of Tabiona, Duchesne County Commissioners, and Young Living Corporation. This is a private company that owns and operates the Skyrider Wilderness Ranch in Tabiona. The district is seeking to plan and provide for water supply needs with the Tabiona and Hanna Valley. Is this economic development, is my question. So there are 298,400 grant for water extension and Taviona turnout.
Great. We have our applicants with us. Can you introduce yourselves for us and add anything you want to that project description? If the green light's on, that means it's working.
I'm Mike Reber, chairman.
Dixie Jones, the secretary.
Rex Harrison, the district's engineer.
Okay, anything you want to add to that description or maybe address the question Candace has raised about whether this is really for a business or whether, you know, how this really is a full public project?
I'll answer that the best I can for the chairman here. The corporation that's private, Young Living, they are putting in about 7,000 feet of 8-inch main to their facilities. That they will be turning that over to the district. Part of the initial request and discussions was that they had to annex their lands and facilities into the district before we would consider it. So they're taking care of all the costs out of our water main extension. The water main will be in the state highway right away, and then their mains will take off to the south, southeast, and service their existing facilities and some planned facilities. Was this a development? I think that's kind of a little bit of a leading question, but yes, I understand why it's asked. It's more of a employment opportunity that we have there in the county to develop some additional employment in this local area. At least that's the way the governor's office had pitched it when they got the appropriation.
Okay, let's go to the board. Questions or comments on this? Yes, Commissioner Adams.
I'm just wondering, the state had given you a grant for $1.5 million. Were they aware that you needed nearly $1.8 million? What's created the little bit of gap here? I'm curious.
Refinement of the estimate and the project. It was kind of a shirt cuff estimate, I think, going into it without a lot of detail and thought of how it was going to happen.
You've got the state treasurer here. He's got deep pockets. I don't know if he wants to speak for the state.
I forgot my chocolate today.
Kidding, David.
Yeah, that does leave us a balance of $298,400 that we're trying to round out the project.
I might comment on this, Bruce. We went as a county to the governor on his 25,000 job right. initiative. This is the top priority in Duchesne County, one that was pitched to him. As far as economic development, this corporation had put $20 million projects on the table, which would over the next 4 years provide about 125 to 150 jobs in this community. We looked at it, and Hannah has the water supply, but there's no fire flow, and the line that feeds this facility right now is a 2-inch line. There's 14 other homes on the same line going up to this lodge. So is it economic? No. They need the fire flow. They need water up to this facility. And so we went to the state, pitched it. The governor gave his support. The legislature ballpark figure, they asked me. I was the one that came up with 1.5, thinking that would take care of the needs.
This is your fault.
It could be. I'd have to take credit. Right. Yeah, because I'm not an engineer, and we hadn't even got to the point of engineering the costs when the appropriation had to come out. And so it was a shot in the dark over that. And that was their response is, well, CIB can probably give you the rest if we give you this much to get by. So that's where the project came from, is that it was one of those initiatives that we had pitched to the governor. And they were very supportive. And had we known, we probably could have got it all, but they didn't know last year, and I don't know what the price of pipe is doing now. So if we can get this in the ground this fall, then we probably won't see an increase in the project price.
You thought you'd ask for plenty, I would imagine.
Yeah, Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I just have question, I guess. In your attachment A, down at the bottom here, it says Duchesne has worked with the BIA to accommodate a utility right-of-way that can be processed quickly. The county, the HANA, and the BIA are presently working on the right-of-way. Have you secured that right-of-way for this pipeline?
Okay, like Rex had said, we were planning on replacing that 2-inch line that runs down parallel with Highway 35. So this 8-inch would go in its place. And then there are some tribal trust lands down along this. If you're going to put in a pipe, they would benefit from it. And so, yes, we have made three trips to Washington trying to secure that right away. They said, well, if UDOT has the right away, that they didn't see any problem, but they wanted to see an application. So we're in that process right now, seeing whether or not they will just allow it in UDOT's right-of-way, or they would grant HANA Water the right-of-way for the pipeline. So they first initiative back in February, they didn't see any problem, but we're trying to make it clear on that.
Yeah, the status of that, Young Living had been paying some of those costs for his team to move the right-of-way. They had completed, I believe, the field work, the surveying, the descriptions. They just have not finalized it, waiting for funding, so they know it'll be done.
And most of that would be on private ground that they would be turning over to that. This Highway 35, I can't remember, 600,000 feet or something is what's in question, and we thought, well, if we can't get it, we stop the pipeline to that point, but it will open up an opportunity for the valley to grow, because there is Tabby Town does not have adequate water for their needs, and by supplying a cement vault there for them for future growth, it will help them too. So,
yeah, that... immediately, that would be one of the major benefactors out of this, would be the town of Tabiona have a secondary source. Right now, they have one spring that they rely on, and I think it's been a struggle this year to get by.
I might mention, if you look at the Magi there, it's quite high, and I don't know that it warrants a loan at all, but had we had the foresight a year ago, we would have asked for more to start with.
Do you have your checkbook now to write in the difference?
Well, we could wait till next spring and see if we get another appropriation.
Councilman Farrell.
Mr. Chairman, knowing the need for this project down that area, I'll make the motion we approve it as presented.
I second with the question.
Okay. So we have a motion from Councilman Farrell. $298,400 grant as presented to approve. A second from Mr. Zanotti, and turn it over to a question from Mr. Zanotti.
Will there be any industrial use of this water, and if so, what will be the fee?
I believe they're planning on three water connections, three industrial-sized water connections.
Okay.
That would include fire flow. They will be on our commercial connection rate. Is that right, Dixie?
Yes.
Correct.
And what kind of rate is that right now?
It's $51 per month for 8,000 gallons and $250 every 1,000 gallons beyond that.
Okay.
The connection fee for the commercial ones is quite higher, and I don't have that in front of me right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Adams?
I'm just wondering if you have enough contingency built in if the bids come in over your estimate. Candace, some people's bids come in over the estimate.
How many supplementals have we seen lately?
we compiled these numbers this spring, and I think we all know what has happened in the construction market. Getting a contractor and materials and labor to put it in is driving prices up.
Yep. So will you be able to cover the overruns?
If there is any.
If there is any.
Would the district be able to cover the overruns?
Sure.
Sure, Mr. Chairman.
So you show $83,000 in contingency?
Yes.
If it doesn't cover, I guess we know that the commission would have been going back to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Or to the governor.
Any other further questions to the motion? All right, the motion before us is to approve a $298,400 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Be placed on the priority list for next month's funding meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
See if we can get through one more before a break here. Helper City is our next applicant. Invite them to the table this time and shoot it over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Helper City is before the board today with a request for funding for a new heavy-duty rescue fire truck. They have $50,000 cash from Carbon County. The request to CIB is for $464,000. It's a $133,000 15-year at 2.5% loan, and it's $331,000 in requested grant. This project consists of purchasing a new Helper City Fire and Rescue non-walk-in aluminum saber chassis fire rescue truck. The city is happy to take a portion of the funding as loan to demonstrate their desire to be a willing partner in this endeavor. They said that in their information. Oops. And they did. And so they're requesting $133,000 in 15-year, 2.5% loan. That's an $11,000 a year payment. 50-50 loan and grant would be a $232,000 15-year loan, which would increase the payment to $19,000 a year for a 50-50 loan grant. And with that, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. I want to have our applicants introduce themselves and add anything to that description.
Good morning. I'm Lenise Peterman. I'm the Helper City.
Yeah, don't hold the button down. Just,
oh, okay.
Yes, there.
Sorry.
Perfect.
I'm Lenise Peterman. I'm the Helper City Mayor. I do want to thank you all for considering our application. We think it's a worthwhile purchase that we need to make for the safety of our community. And I have Richard Colombo with me.
My name is Rich Colombo. I'm the Helper Fire Chief. Our truck that we have right now is a 94 truck. It's 24 years old, and it's starting to cost us plenty each year. So this would be something that we could upgrade if we could.
And I also have Pam Giuliano with us.
Hello, good to see everyone. I serve in a volunteer capacity with the Revitalization Committee. The fire chief and the mayor are going to give you a little bit of background on the project, but you should also know that they've taken the initiative. Brand new mayor, out of the box, putting an application together for CIB. I commend you. Well done. But they've taken the initiative to seek federal funds, as well as looking at how they can address these issues at a local level with private business support. the city support, and really being very fiscally conscious about what they're looking at as a need. This isn't a luxury item. As Chief Colombo mentioned, the vehicle hasn't been replaced since 94, and geographically, they cover an incredibly challenging district from, if you're going over Soldier Summit, you're at the top end of Wasatch County, clear to I-70 outside of Green River. They've been called in on emergencies on occasion. So happy to address any application specific outlines, but speak to your project.
Not only do we cover from the Soldier Summit, we cover Schofield, Clear Creek, and we cover the top of Indian Canyon. And right now with Highway 6, I have a detailed report of a 24-hour survey of all the hazardous materials that's coming through. And this would be our rescue truck that would assist on any of that. So if you have any questions or anything, what we handle between 200 and 300 rescue calls a year for little town of Helper City. So we do have a lot of calls, and the truck is running. We had a call this morning at 4 in the morning, so I got a call in and then just picked up and came here. So if you have any questions for me.
I guess the pertinent question is whether you can take half and half loan grant.
I would need to go back to the council, but I believe we have public support and we would figure this out. We will be retiring a CIB loan here in the next 2 years, so that's something we can look forward to, as well as retiring a second CIB loan for our fire station in the next 8 years. So I believe funding will be coming available in conjunction with that.
Yes, Mr. Galecki.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
Because I did see that you are retiring $8,000 in loans within the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. I would say that we do a 50-50, 50% loan, 50% grant at $232,000 each for 15 years. And, that's my motion.
At 2.5%?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion before us is $232,000 loan, 15-year, 2.5%, and $232,000 grant. Or second to that motion.
Second,
second from Commissioner Ogden.
I'd like to amend it.
Propose a substitute motion?
Well, just...
Or you're going to ask kindly... You're going to ask kindly to...
We'll tell you what we come up with.
Okay.
You said they're going to retire two loans in 2 years. How about we defer the payment for 2 years?
That's where I was pausing.
Yeah, I thought you were.
Okay, so is that an amendment you want to make, Mr.
Yeah.
Galecki, to your...
Yeah, I'll amend it that... postpone first payments for 2 years.
Deferred.
And is that accepted on the second there,
yep.
Commissioner Ogden? Okay, so the amended motion before us, $232,000, 15-year, 2.5% loan deferred for 2 years, and a $232,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion?
Just one question.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Chief, are you going to keep that truck, old truck, or are you going to sell it back and do...
We're going to see what we can do with the truck. If we can keep it, we'll try to keep it. But if we can sell it to pay off some of the loan, we'll do that. So we'll see who will want to buy the truck.
And when you get in, you're helping other communities. Are you getting paid for your service using the truck?
No.
No?
No, no payment. We go into Wasatch County and Utah County. We have a small contract with Utah County. We have no contract with Wasatch County, but we do. We have mutual aid. It's called a mutual aid package with Price and Wellington and East Carbon also, which is no pay.
Well, that's not fair, is it?
They help us also, though.
Okay.
So
if they do, okay.
Yes.
I think Nagy was saying he's in the market for a 94 heavy-duty rescue fire truck.
Especially if you're moving to Milford.
You just got to take that with you.
You're going to need one for each community.
We'll say one thing. This is, we carry no water on this truck. We look to buy a rescue truck with water, but it is over $800,000-$900,000. So we could see that that is not possible. So when we do have our rescue truck out, we do take a fire truck with us also.
I have one more question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just a personal. 2 years ago, I went through your community. There were all kinds of businesses out of business, closed. Are your businesses coming back? Your economy is improving?
Yes, sir. If you were to come down today, you would probably be pleasantly surprised at what's going on in Helper. All of our storefronts on Main Street have been purchased and are in process of restoration or renovation. Even as I speak, we have art galleries and different restaurants coming online. So it's a really exciting time in Helper.
Well, I'm so pleased to hear that. Thank you.
Come down tomorrow, first Friday.
Okay.
And we'll visit the Harley Museum.
Well, good.
Yes, Commissioner Adams.
I don't know how many of you were here when Helper came in with a need to redo their water system and their storm drain system. It was about a $22 million project that CIB helped them with. About $12 million of that was in a loan. And for them to come in and take any more loan on is incredible to me, a small community like that. But I know the need was there for that water system, storm drain system, and I'm, you know, I compliment you for what you're trying to do for everybody.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ogden.
I just want to commend you. I'm also a volunteer fire department member, and I think this is neat. I have one question, though. Do you guys fall under a fire district there at all in your area?
We were trying to do a fire district, but with the county, but that has not come about yet. Each city has their own fire department.
Okay. I noticed on reading through some of your information there also that do you have paramedics that go on this fire truck with you?
Every one of our firemen are EMTs. We have two advanced, but every single one we make them be EMTs. We have 16 personnel. We have 16 firemen.
Okay.
So each one, no paramedics. But we all are EMTs.
Okay, what about, do you bill on some of these accidents?
We don't.
Just a service that you're providing?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, the motion before us, $232,000, 15-year, 2.5% loan, deferred 2 years, and a $232,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. It'll be placed on the priority list for the funding meeting next month.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. Readjourn at 10:10, and we'll plow through the rest of the agenda. Project, we should have Price River Water Improvement District at the table with us. That is who we have with us, right? Okay, good. And we'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number six on the agenda, Price River Water Improvement District has an application before the board today for sewer pipe lining, a sewer pipe lining project, and a maintenance building. They have $250,000 applicant cash. The request to CIB is $1,750,000, $800,000 20-year at 0% loan, and $950,000 in grant. This project consists of a cure-in-place pipelining. Just a note, the pipelining that we have recently had, you get in there and you look at the pipe and you realize that some of it can't be lined. So I don't know how far along you are in your project of pipelining, but once you get in there, sometimes you find out you need to put new pipe in, and that will be supplemental request. It will be all loan when you do. Okay, anyway.
Is that a motion?
This is 555 feet of 15-inch sewer line, 100 feet of 18-inch sewer line, 3,103 feet of 12-inch sewer line, and 150 feet of 24-inch sewer line, for a total of 3,908 feet of line, and a new 7,350-square-foot maintenance building along with this. So part of it is sewer replacement, part of it is building. The DEQ review indicates a low magi. The magi right now is 0.90% for sewer and 0.125% for the Division of Drinking Water. The potential rate increase of a dollar per residential equivalent per month on the sewer rate and a dollar per connection per month of sewer rate is a suggested going forward. I think they have suggested this will be building a 70 by 105 building with minimal office space and larger bay spaces. It needs to be 70 feet long in order to work on the sewer cleaning truck, which would this would accommodate that. The district has been saving for these projects and plans to take money from the water and sewer reserve accounts. When I asked them what the revenue source would be, that is what will pay for both the sewer project and the building project. The entire $1,750,000 CIB request at 50-50 loan grant would be an $875,000 grant, $875,000 loan, 20-year at 2.5%, which would be a $55,875 payment per year.
So moved.
It looks like a good project. They've researched it well, but like I said, your sewer lining is always a surprise.
So let's have our applicants introduce themselves and add anything you need to that description.
My name is Jeff Richens. I'm the district manager of Price River Water Improvement District.
Bo Fawcett, I'm the superintendent over the maintenance and water.
Tony Maurer, fleet maintenance supervisor.
So our total project is $2.15 million. We purchased property over the past several years ago, adjacent to us, and we put a value of that of $150,000. It is a little bit less than 5-acre parcel. The thing that makes it really appealing to us is it is adjacent to our existing properties, and so we can just make it contiguous one to the other. Also, we have all water, sewer, communications, power, gas, everything's right there in front of it for the construction of this building, so it's been a good purchase for us as we've been trying to prepare for moving forward with this building. Our existing building was built in 1995, and that's where we share that building with both crews. But since 1995, we've been taking over a number of smaller and private water companies that has required us to hire more employees and bring on more equipment. Hence, we have now we're bursting at the seams in that building, so we would like to build another building and then split those crews, keep one of those departments in one building and move the other department into the other building and make them more specialized to their purposes. The sewer lining project, as Candace has brought up, we have been in those lines. We have inspected them. We do have a video record of them. We do have bids from a vendor of what they would bid to do the sewer lining on that. That's how we got our budget numbers for that project. So we're quite confident that all of those are, they still have enough integrity to move forward with that as we've been in those and we've received those bids.
Great. Let's go to the board questions. Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I've got two or three along this line. The district received a loan from CIB some time ago, and you was going to raise your rate and never did impose that. Are you going to raise this rate to help us impose that?
I don't recall that we were going to and didn't, and we've already held our public hearing for this rate increase. Okay. Our board has already passed
the rate increase, the sewer rate increase, takes effect January 1 of 2019, and the water rate increase takes effect January 1 of 2020.
Okay. Another question I have along that line is on your CIPP bid completion, compilation, I guess. It looks a little loose as far as what your numbers are. Are you going to tighten them down just a little bit more? Says that because of these reasons, the bid amounts and the estimates are somewhat loosely affixed.
Right. And part of the problem we have there is with the changing prices for some of these materials, but also this, as you do a sewer lining project, you have live sewer. You can't stop it. You have to do a pump around. Part of this pump around on the two largest lines, the section of the 12-inch line and the 24-inch line, are we can't go over a railroad track, so we have to go around the railroad track. It means we have to come into a riverbed, and so there's going to be some additional costs and insurances just to make sure that we don't have any problems going in those areas.
Okay, one other question, if I may. The small towns that you took over, are they paying into this, contributing into this system?
They are. They're not really towns. They're more like areas. Okay. If you know the area much at all, there's Spring Glen area, for example. There was 307 connections we took over from them. I think we started billing them in 2015. We, just to name a few of the others, there has been the Carbonville Water Company, the East Carbonville, the Jukes. But some of these water companies are truly, they grew out of nothing, as many as 12, 15 connections. But, you know, the people who started those, they get older. They don't want to do this anymore. Nobody wants to read the meters, test hydrants, get certified, those kinds of things. And so by default, they come to us.
You take them over.
We take them over. Sometimes we even have to go through the process of helping them secure loans to upgrade their system. For example, the East Carbonville and Carbonville systems, when we took those over, we worked with the Division of Drinking Water. They are paying an additional $20 a month to retire their loan. And I think it's a 25-year loan. Spring Glen is paying $12 a month, and theirs is a $20 year loan. So it's all different kinds of mixes throughout the district.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Znotti.
Okay, Jeff, I'm looking at the history. You have 2003, 2004, 2010, 2011, all sewer projects.
Okay.
Is it safe to say that your district has a sewer problem? Really, you're completing all these projects, or you're just waiting for another money to come from CIB, or somebody will be Christmas at the July or something?
No. So a few years ago, I don't remember exactly what year it was, 2015, probably 2014, was the year we had
the flood, yes.
200-year storms a week apart from each other. Maybe they were 1,000-year storms. And our wastewater plant was underwater. And I don't mean that the roads got flooded. The tanks that we used to clean the water was underwater. And our tunnel system was full of river water. And we worked with the Board of Water Quality then and also this board here. And we brought that online, working with those small amounts. And I think at that point the loan was
$600,000.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't
a loan. It was a grant.
Okay. Oh, because we had a $600,000 match from the Water Quality Board. That was the loan there. In any case, we spent a little over $3 million to get the plant back up and online and running and whatnot, and so it's running 100%. We also, in that time period you mentioned, and one of the reasons why we're doing this, it was discovered a sewer line was leaking under a bridge when the highway department expanded the highway. The pipe was then rerouted, and it was put through what we thought was a casing pipe with a carrier pipe inside of it. Turned out it was the casing pipe only, and that's a steel pipe, and you don't run sewer through steel pipe. It corroded it, and so we have since corrected that. And that was the emergency loan we got, I want to say, probably 2009 or 10. The only thing we can see on the horizon besides this for sewer is we are under agreement with the Division of Water Quality and the Water Quality Board to for nutrient removal. We have a deferral until I think 2021 or two to come into compliance on that new standard that's coming out. Beyond that, I don't see us needing to do a project on the sewer. But we'll be back to talk to you for funding, helping us fund that. That'll be about a $3 million project then.
So in this particular case, then, since you have had all these 2003, 4, and 10, and 11 all in the grant form, are you willing to take this one in the loan?
Depends on the loan and depends on how big of a portion of it. And
it will
like
be
that,
all of them. 2.5% in 20 years.
We can't afford, with the rate increases we had, we can do a 1% loan, all of it, a loan, we could do that. If we needed to go higher, then we might have to kind of balance that out against how we, you know, get part of it in a 0% loan and part of it at a higher rate.
Well, there's no 0% anymore. That door is closed.
Okay.
And 1% hardly ever heard of, so 2.5% is the ongoing rate. One, two, take it or leave it. That's my recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Farrell.
What's the reason you lining the pipes at the integrity to stop infiltration into them?
No, so they're concrete pipe, okay. And they're on the main line. Part of it is because as we do clean and video inspect, we see that the concrete is starting to deteriorate. The only way to stop that is to put in a PVC lining in them. Otherwise, you're forced to let them deteriorate to the point where you have to replace them. This is not a good area to do that in some of these places because it goes under the railroad track. So you're better off to line them. The other reason is because, again, I mentioned we had one that leaked into the river. Most of them are crossings over Live River. And we don't want to be in that position again. We do see some deterioration. And so these will be crossings over the river themselves.
Thank you.
Mr. Galecki.
Oh, unless Nadia is going to make one, I'll make a motion.
I can do that if you want, or go ahead and proceed.
Sure, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I actually, and you know, it's based truly on our memo. You guys do a great job in keeping on top of things. But taking into consideration Lisa and Skylar's memo that you're well below the magi, and that as I calculated, if you did a full loan at 2.5% for 20 years, it raises the rate by $1. And so my motion, thank you. My motion is, but actually I'll change it a little bit. Rather than $1,750,000, I'm going to make it a full loan at $2 million so you can keep your $250,000 in cash at 2.5% for 20 years.
Okay. Motion before us. Is there a second to that motion?
I will second it. With Jeff, do you think that 30 years will help you in the numbers if you go 30 years rather than 20?
No, because I plan to have this paid off before that.
Well, thank you
for that. Our goal is to get to the point. It's like when I mentioned we built the previous building in 1995. We didn't come for a loan. That was a cash flow.
Sure.
I'm hoping before I retire we can get to the point where we can build up our reserve funds and cash flow most of our projects.
That will be your legacy, so second that motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I already gave a second to the treasurer here,
sorry.
So I think he was right next to me,
okay.
Kind of whispered it, but I heard it. So the motion by Mr. Galecki is a $2 million 20-year loan, 2.5%, and that was seconded by Treasurer Damson. Further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. We will see you at the funding meeting next month. It'll be on the priority list.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
On to Monticello Cemetery Special Service District. Invite them to the table and turn the time to Candace for a briefing.
Number 7 on the CIB agenda today is Monticello Cemetery Special Service District. This is for cemetery improvements. Their request is $360,000 total, $108,030 a year at 1% loan, and a $252,000 grant. They have $50,000 indicated in kind for land. This is for demolishing the existing equipment and shed and constructing an asphalt parking lot, a 3,200 square foot equipment shed, a 40 foot by 80 foot office space. The smaller building located at the entrance of the property will be converted into a public restroom and indoor kiosk. They explain that one road that allows entrance and exit of the cemetery grounds is just one road. There's not enough parking, equipment shed is not large enough to house all of the equipment. The kiosk for the cemetery is an open shelter gazebo, which is exposed to the elements. So they will do a building, and the subtotal of that building cost was $236,000. The site work subtotal is $27,000. And the total probable cost for the project, because there is an estimate, is $410,000. If they take the entire amount, 30-year loan at 2.5%, the payment would be $17,000 a year.
Great. You want to introduce yourselves for us?
Thank you, sir. My name is Art Adair. I am the cemetery caretaker.
And I'm Scoop Lannery, their engineer.
Great. Anything you want to add to this project description?
Yeah, so the existing building, there was two existing buildings, and they were built about exactly 54 years ago, and there's a lot of wear and tear to those. One of the main buildings was actually added on to previously twice over the last 54 years, which has taken a lot of space, road frontage. As you can look on the map or the map you have in your packet, there's not currently enough room to actually turn and access vehicle in and out of those buildings and without going onto the cemetery grass itself. Over the last 54 years, obviously there's been a lot of growth, as in cemetery burials, headstones, sprinkling system, trees, and so forth. As you can see in the picture, a tree and sprinklers and headstones. With future growth right there in that part of the cemetery, which would be our Section A, which is the oldest part right by the old building and the blue building right there, you actually have to enter those sheds with our equipment on the grass. If we were put to bury people in those lots that are already sold to people who, you know, are elderly, that in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years we'll be using those plots, we will not be able to access that building. But due to the fact that it was built 54 years ago, Commissioner Adams is not in that section. What the new building does for us is it puts it, as you can see, back in the far east corner of the property, which is all undeveloped, all of that section. We don't foresee that, because we also have the section up front to the east, to the northeast of the old sheds, that is undeveloped as well. We don't foresee that being developed where we want to build a new shed for at least 30-plus years. We just don't have the need for it. And so that's a perfect opportunity for us to move the buildings there. The buildings that we currently have are falling apart. One's a cinder block building that has gaps in it, and they're not worth the money or investment to repair those buildings for what you're going to put into them, plus the accessibility to those buildings. The restroom that we currently have is unusable due to old piping. The cinder block building actually has the floor was cut out about 6 years ago to fix a lot of problems with the sewer system. And so now there's a metal plate that sits over that. We want the kiosk that currently is there was built by a Boy Scout project about 20 years ago out of aspen. And if you've ever had an aspen tree in your yard, you know that they don't live long and they rot fast. And so that building is actually a hazard. We plan on tearing it down regardless, because it is a hazard. And we would like to just improve our cemetery with some parking, with some infrastructure that will last us well into 60 more years. You know, we are a small service district. We have a board membership of 3 board members and myself. And so we're asking, you know, that you help us with this project that we foresee lashing us at least 60 years or plus.
Okay, questions from the board?
Your cemetery district, how are you funded then? Directly from perpetual care fund? Or?
So we have a tax base, so we collect off of everyone that's in the cemetery district. When it was first, yes, and so, and we collect about 95% of that, I believe. In talking to state auditors, we collect about 90% of that tax base, which is about $34,000 a year. Other than that, our funds come from selling burial plots, opening and closing graves, if people pay for those things. You know, sometimes we are years out, and sometimes we never get paid for those things, just depending on the people and their assets. So.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
How much are your plots?
For residents, it's $120. For non-residents, it's double that. So
it's double for you if you're looking for that as well.
No, I'm going to Monroe. I told you.
Rescue truck, moving to Monroe and buying a burial plot in Monticello. I think that's what we've established this meeting.
Burial plots are worth are more than Monroe.
No. Is it?
Commissioner Winterton.
I'm just looking at the minutes of the meeting and the discussion of the tax rate, and it's noted here that the rate has not been increased for many years. The State Tax Commission suggests raising the rate every 3 to 5 years. Have you guys done anything to do that?
Yes,
I mean, you talked about raising it for an additional $10,000. Mm-hmm. Where's the discussions on that?
So we have had a truth and taxation meeting. We have our board meeting. Our board has approved it. We've had a truth and taxation. We will have another one that is coming up. I don't have the date for that. But we're working with the state and our county to set that rate. So we're hoping to have it on the next fiscal year.
So by raising it, you would have the ability to take on all loan?
No, because the reason why we're raising it is due to you know, currently we have a tractor, mowers, vehicles that we maintain ourselves, and so that is, and our roads. We, as you can see by the map, we have a lot of road, asphalt road that, you know, it costs a lot to chip seal that every, you know, 5 to 7 years to maintain, upkeep. Our sprinkling system that costs money every year to upkeep. That money is an essential going to maintenance of what we currently have to be able to purchase new tractors, purchase new mowers. Those things wear out pretty fast at the cemetery.
Well, it looks like you've just looked for your present needs and not into the future. Is it possible to take that rate up to the point where you do have something to put in there besides the maintenance?
So our plan isn't talking with the state and them telling us that the board should have been doing this every 3 to 5 years, is initial raise, which will be a pretty hefty raise for most people. The state tells me that most people will look at that in terms of percentages of like an 80%, which won't be a dollar amount very high, but it will look high because we haven't done it for 30 years. And so our goal is in the next year to do another rate raise to be able to afford just the fluctuation. Like I said, if we don't do a lot of burials, we don't bring in money, unfortunately. And so it's something that we're looking long-term for our roads, for our infrastructure, for our sprinkler system, and for our equipment needs.
Mr. Adams.
I'm going to speak for the dead.
As a future resident?
Aren't you convicted? I'm going to be in there someday, but it's a while off. Art does a great job. We couldn't ask for somebody to work and keep the cemetery in great shape, and it always looks good. He takes really good care of the cemetery, and he's, you know, he's well prepared. He's done his homework. He tries to. You come down to our cemetery, you'd be impressed. It's really well maintained, and he does a good job. And I know the residents there appreciate it. I haven't spoken to any of them, but I know that they do. The ones in the cemetery.
The residents of the cemetery.
It's a peaceful
okay.
place.
They really appreciate what he's done there. But But I want to compliment Art on, this is, he's not a frequent flyer here at the CIB, and he's presenting himself really well, and I know whatever the CIB can do would be appreciated by the Cemetery District.
Mr. Galecki.
Coming from a small town, I identify the importance of having a good cemetery, and well kept one, and so it's a big deal. I do have a few questions on the cost of things. There's $50,000 in land easements. What is that?
So that's the value of the land, assuming they were to use that for cemetery plots instead of for this new building.
So I don't understand. Is something being purchased for $50,000?
It's not being purchased. It's basically it's land that's owned by the cemetery that they've decided to turn into land for that maintenance shed as opposed to burial land.
Oh, okay. Then I see that it's a pre-engineered building for $55,000 and the erection of the building is for $24,000. Can you explain? I don't understand the $37,000 in engineering costs if it's a prefab building and the erections are, the construction's already covered.
So there's going to be some design. The foundation will be designed, the site for all the new parking, demolition of those existing buildings, and rehabilitation of the kiosk area with the new bathroom. And then, of course, that's half of it is the design, and then the other half is the during construction engineering, materials testing, compaction testing, all of the site observation, and just assuring that the project gets built correctly. It ends up being about, the design is about 6% of the estimated cost of the project, and the construction engineering is similar to that.
Mr. Zanotti.
So, Art, I was looking at our blue book that we go by the what has been in the past history of the other communities. Notice that most of the cemeteries have all been on the full financed. Are you in a position to take this, like Candace mentioned, full finance loan rather than grant? Are you in that position?
No, we're not. We're willing to go. We're willing to, if we could get a 60-40. I mean, I know we've requested a 70-30, but if a 60-40, we've had an accountant to look at our finances and see what we could afford, and that's where they feel they're comfortable right now. With what we could afford as a cemetery district.
How about 50-50?
With the tax increase, we could defer some of that to that, yes.
And again, I mentioned to Jeff, I want to be straight with you too. 2.5% is the one, the going rate. Hmm. Are you comfortable with that? With
yes,
that?
Okay. For 30 years.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion 50-50, 2.5%, 30 years mortgage.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Zanotti. A $180,000 30-year loan, 2.5%, and a $180,000 grant, seconded by Commissioner Winterton. Further discussion to that motion?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I'm a landowner there. Do I need to...
That's a good question, Allison. What say ye?
I think the conflict ends upon death, so you're probably okay. Can't really have a conflict.
Have you already
death.
Bought your plot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well,
you're not for me. I'm not.
Hey. Where's the Monroe? I'm not coming to Monroe.
Okay.
No, seriously, I don't believe that there's a conflict there.
Seeing no further questions. The motion before us, $180,000, 30-year, 2.5% loan, and $180,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. We'll see you at the funding meeting. You're on the priority list. Thanks.
Thank you. Art, remember, I will be the resident rate, right? Not the non-resident. Right?
Okay. Now, Art, you understand you need to be here for that meeting in October, right?
Okay.
The funding meeting,
regardless of hunting and football,
they might do some tricky things.
Okay, our next applicant is the town of Henryville, And we'll invite them to the table and turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 8 on the agenda is the town of Henryville. They have a request before the board for a new wildland fire truck. The request is a $200,000 grant. This project consists of purchasing a 2018 Dodge Ram 5500 Cummins 4x4 brush truck with a 400-gallon Defender tank with foam cell and water and associated appurtenances. The fire the team consists of 6 volunteer firefighters. Henryville does not have an income base to allow for self-financing for equipment. The current brush truck was damaged when the old firehouse collapsed in the winter of 2010. It has many undependable issues. The old truck has lots of problems. It's just old, and it needs to be replaced. They have an income of just over $3,000 a year. The question the board might have is there possible BLM funding for this vehicle? They do have an invoice. Another question is the price said it was good for 30 days. Is that price still in effect?
Yes.
Okay, with that, applicants, introduce yourselves and anything you want to add to this application.
I'm Dave Roberts. I'm the mayor there in Henryville.
I'm Scott Nielsen, fire chief. 7 months in, so I'm a newbie. So,
first off, this is not current. We sent some. Our clerk said she sent the updated information. These prices are not good anymore. However, we did go back, do some research, and we found a different truck.
That price is good on the different one.
Yeah, we're looking at $126,000 on the truck itself, and then with what's needed to equip the truck, we're at another $11,969. So the total on that is only $138,114. So, and now, as you mentioned, we have about, it's a little over $3,000 yearly budget for the fire department. The town occasionally kicks in some money from the general fund, but the complete budget for the town is just under $38,000 to operate the whole town for a year. We have a $13,000 a year payment on a pre-existing loan for water issues back in the day. So we're asking for a complete grant on this. With the influx of tourism that we have and the lack of proper fire equipment in our area, we've got, so right now there's one rescue truck, and it's in Tropic, and there's one rescue truck that's in Escalante, like 45, 50 miles away from that, and we all work together. It's all mutual aid in that area. We run it from Escalante as far as Panguitch, and to the south, we have what used to be Grand Staircase all down through that country, and it's Kane County, but Kane County is 2 to 3 hours away. We're starting to have a lot more car wrecks in that area that we're having to respond to. We do have, as you know, as you've seen, there's a lot of wildland fires this year. We've had to respond to those. We have run this little truck a time or two, but it's two-wheel drive, it's POS, and
that's the technical term for it.
Yeah. I think it's spelled Ford, but anyway, it's like an early 90s, late 80s, early 90s model. It never was a very good truck. You've always had to use starter fluid. You get to the location, and most of the time you've got to have jumper cables or somebody pull you back. So you guys did give us some money for a big truck, They're probably 2011, I believe.
2010.
Okay, so, and that one, we run that a lot, and it works amazing on the highway. One, a lot of these fires that we're running into now in the car wrecks are off-highway. We're not able to get it there. We have had a couple of fires where the only way we could get to them was get our truck as close as we could and hike everybody up the hill with shovels. So, anyway, so that's what we're asking for on this. Any questions? Ask him.
So can I get clarification on the amount then? Is not 200,000, it's 138,000?
It's $138,114.
Sold.
Questions from the board? Motion? Mr. Galecki.
I just have a quick question. I'm the fully support of you guys and for your service. So I know it's dedicated, six fire people on it, takes a while.
Right.
But my one question is on the $12,000 in equipment. Most of it looks like it's just, you know, tools that can be transferred. Are you just setting it? Can you address that?
Most of the tools that we did have, and we didn't, a lot of these we didn't have, but most of the tools that we did have on the old truck, when the firehouse collapsed, they were ruined.
Okay.
So the little truck has hardly any tools at all. Mostly it's got hose, and we got a new, like, suction pump for it to throw in a pond or something, and that's about the tools.
Commissioner Matson.
I'd like to move that we agree
with the
amended request.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
We got 140 even. That way we don't have to do the math.
Okay. The motion before us is to approve a $140,000 grant that's made by Commissioner Matson, and that was seconded by Councilman Farrell. Any further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. That has been, will be put on the priority list, and we'll see you at the funding meeting next month.
You guys are awesome.
Right,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard, Chief. That's your Christmas gift.
Well, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Can we go back and revisit that and suspend and fund that one? If that was all right.
Yes. Hold on. Let me ask our attorney rules of order here. So we just approved a motion. Now there's a thought process to go back and revisit this and to suspend and fund. Does that need a vote of a certain quantity to reconsider that action, or can we just take another action on it?
You can take another action. You haven't moved on to a new action.
Okay. So that's a proposed amendment to the original motion that passed. Or are we taking a new motion on it?
You should probably take a new motion.
Okay.
You don't need a motion to reopen
discussion. I second that motion.
So the motion is to take that and suspend and fund. That's made by Commissioner Winterton and seconded by Mr. Zanotti. Any further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that'll get you started right away on it.
You guys
are
amazing. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, we,
come back to
fine. We're afraid we'd have to tone back.
Don't read. Jesus is writing the check right now.
Okay, Town of Lindell, we'll turn the, I'm glad they're at the table with us. We'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 9 on the CIV agenda is the Town of Lindell with a request for the Lindell Town water rights purchase. Lindell Town has $30,000 in applicant cash, and the request is $1,425,000 in grant. This project consists of purchasing 400 acre-feet of municipal water rights for municipal, industrial, and domestic use. The project also includes the associated legal and engineering services. Now, the reason that there is that is because this is purchasing water rights that the Town of Lindell needs now, because Union Pacific Railroad used to be the water provider, and they own the water shares. So they decided that they don't want to be in the water business anymore. And and water is gold. So the town of Lindell, in order to accommodate the water that they've historically been using, they need to now purchase those water rights. Later on, this project will also, not this project, but Lindell will need to create infrastructure for the use of this water. But in the meantime, these water rights are on the table, and it's kind of important for them. So the cost breakdown for this is legal is about $30,000, and that's just to make sure that they accommodate all the legalities for these water rights. Engineering is $25,000, and that one I don't know why. And the purchase of water rights is $1,400,000. So it's a total cost of $1,455,000, and with a reminder that $30,000 is applicant cash. The Magi for Lindell is $161,000, but there isn't a revenue source in purchasing water rights.
Okay, have our applicants with us. You want to introduce yourselves for us?
I'm Andrew Dutz. I'm the mayor for the town.
Amber Lloyd, council member.
Jesse Ralphs, engineer for the town.
Great. Anything you want to add to the description?
Sure. So a little bit, I guess a little more detail on that. So Lindell was originally settled as a railroad hub, and it was always, you know, big railroad yard, all that, and that was kind of what Lindell was in the early 1900s. In 1945, when the town was incorporated, but at that time, most of the residents had kind of already hooked into the railroad's water system. You know, they were employees of the railroad anyway, so the railroad kind of was the water provider the whole time. The diesel engine was invented. Steam engines didn't have to stop in Lindell anymore, so the railroad pretty much dissolved and is essentially non-existent in Lindell anymore. So in the 60s, the railroad says, we don't want to deal with this anymore. Pushed off to the town, says, you manage the account, you manage everything, we'll just lease the water to you. It was a $0 lease, and that's kind of how it's been handled ever since. So the town of Lindell actually does not own any water rights of its own, just what we lease from the railroad. We do, because since then all the infrastructures had to be rebuilt, replaced, just through normal wear and tear, we do own all of the infrastructure, the water infrastructure, for the most part. We do not own the land that the water infrastructure, the tank and the pump building and wells are on, and we do not own the water rights. So the railroad has recently approached us and said they're done with doing this. They want completely out of dealing with water. I think that's a nationwide thing, but anyway, so it's kind of, we've got to get water, you know. We really don't have a choice in the matter here. I mean, it's water or nothing, you know. So that's where we're at. We've hired engineering help to help us determine the amount of water rights, projected growth, things like that. They've completed a 40-year plan for us, recently updated that. Anyway, so that's kind of where it's at. Some of the caveats with this, when I talk about the water infrastructure, there are two wells that supply the water tank. Those wells are both within 100 feet of the railroad tracks, which is, I mean, for water contamination reasons, that's a terrible idea. But for railroad right-of-way, they are not allowed to sell us those wells or that property those wells are on. So part of this phased project will mean we need to drill a new well, install a new well, and the associated infrastructure to put the new well into the tank and abandon the old wells, because those wells will remain on the railroad's property. We had some preliminary meetings with Candace and the Division of Drinking Water and Rural Development. We all met together upstairs here, actually. It was suggested that we kind of break the project into pieces, with the water rights purchase coming to the CIB. The second phase of this project, which would be installing the new well and the infrastructure upgrades that are also required. I mean, there's not a if on that either. It's a you have to do it kind of a thing. So the other half of that project where the intent is to go to the drinking water and rural development for the funding request on those. So that's kind of where we're at on that.
And you say you haven't had to pay anything for the water with your lease with Union Pacific to date?
We have not paid. No, there's not been lease fees. There's some caveats in the agreement, so they, you know, we provide so much water to them. We, by us using the rights, it helps them keep improved up, and we maintain all the infrastructure and, you know, that kind of stuff. But as far as like a lease fee or anything, we've not had that in the past.
Okay. Commissioner Winterton.
Just following up a little bit. So there has not been any revenue coming from the sale of the water?
There has. So Lindeltown has sold. We meter, we bill, you know, everything like I think any normal water system would be. We just, the railroad has not billed Lindeltown for leasing their water rights.
So that money, that revenue, has that just been to build the infrastructure, or is there a surplus there, or what's the plan going forward? I mean, if you own these water rights, is there a talk of increasing a rate so that you can maintain this?
Right. So the water rates up to date have been, they've been marginal, but it's all been infrastructure maintenance, you know, pipe repairs, pump repairs, you know, just all the basic infrastructure maintenance. It's been a little bit short some year. I mean, it's pretty right on the money there. You know, some years a little short, some years a little high. So we pretty average out. But in anticipation of this project and the funding and costs and things that are associated with it, we have recently just raised our rates this past June. Knowing that this is coming up, we just put in about a 40% rate increase. Because we know there are costs associated with this. We expect the request here is for a 100% grant. We really feel like that's 100% necessary based on the phase two portion of the project where we'll be going to drinking water and rural development. We've had preliminary discussions with them, and an optimistic, probably too optimistic scenarios. We're still talking about another 50 to 100% raise in water rates on top of the rate increase that we've just completed, which would probably put us around 2.5%, 3% of our Magi, somewhere in that range. But
just as one board member, I mean, if we were to help you now, are we just enabling you to keep coming back for grants to operate this? What measures are you doing so that you can sustain this system and that? I mean, if we give you the water rights or the money for that, then going forward, we would hope that you could have a plan of development that will sustain this whole system. We don't want to enable you to stay in a poverty situation, which we're operating everything off grants, because that's not a good business plan at all. So I just was curious of what you guys are going to do if you get these water rights, how you get sustained now going forward.
Right, and I don't feel like, as far as sustaining maintenance, all that, nothing's really changing from the past. I mean, we own the infrastructure, we maintain it, we're doing 100%. The only thing that's really changing right now is the ownership of the rights is changing, but
it sounds like to me that you're not building up any equity or any slush fund to help for future needs. And if you're operating on that, there's no way that you can continue down that path, because you'll never be able to pay as you go.
Right, and that's what I was talking about. Why we recently did the rate increase was we recognize that, and we're trying to approach a better,
Well, if you're looking
rates.
For a loan in the future for these projects, come back. We have the money to loan you.
Right.
Mr. Glucky.
How many acre feet are in the water rights?
The railroad currently owns? It's about 1,100 acre feet, I think, that they currently own.
And that's just part of, is it, how is the price determined, as far as, so if you got 1,100 acre feet?
What is it growing?
So they're only buying 400.
They're only buying 400.
Oh, a lot less.
And it's about 30.
About 3,500
an acre foot.
Okay, thanks. That's what
And that's the price that's been offered by the railroad at this time.
Okay. And then Candace did bring up there's $25,000 in engineering. Exactly what is that?
So the piece in the engineering, the town has also contracted with Clyde Snow and Sessions, water rights attorneys, and in some preliminary strategizing and planning. They've recommended as part of the process moving forward, purchasing the rights, doing the change applications, that there's a 40-year plan done. The mayor mentioned that we had recently done it was actually a water master plan a couple of years ago, but a 40-year water rights plan has not been done, and that's the tool that a community will usually use to protect their water rights once they have them, to show that they've got a need for those water rights moving forward. So between the engineering consultation to help with any change applications and segregations, it also include the 40-year plan to go ahead and protect those rights when they purchase them.
So how many acre feet are you using right now? The 400, is that what you're...
Currently, the town is using about 100. But in the 40-year projection, obviously, the water rights are not a commodity that the town can just go out and purchase at any time they want to. And so planning forward, there's additional uses that they would like to see in the future, industrial and commercial uses there, in addition to their municipal, their ag uses on their system right now. And so the 400 takes into account their current uses, and it also includes a portion there to allow for any future industrial growth they might see there. There again, it's hard to look into the crystal ball and say, okay, are they going to grow at the rate that we projected? Are there industries coming in? But if they do, they'd certainly like to be prepared right now when the water rights are available, then try to come back and purchase them at a later time.
Did you say there's current ag use off that 400 acre feet?
They do have some connections that they consider ag connections, and might have some further.
We consider them ag connections, but they're minimal. It's like a hydrant to a water trough or something kind of a thing. That's about the extent of those.
It's Councilman Farrell.
If the $25,000 is going towards your legal fees, what's the $30,000 for administration going to do then? I assume that's what Clyde Snow would be paid out of.
Clyde Snow is out of that $30,000.
Well, then what's the $25,000? You said that's what
engineering.
That was engineering.
But what do you need an engineer to buy water rights on if you got Clyde Snow doing the legal aspect of it?
So the 40-year plan, 40-year water rights plan would be done through the engineering side
and
of things.
That would cost $25,000?
No, we're also anticipating there would be some additional engineering support on any change applications, any segregations that need to be done, in addition with just general engineering consultation during the actual negotiations. The $25,000 is a projected budget. Right now it's set up as a time of materials. If that's not all spent, that won't be paid.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor, how many connections do you have as of today? So let's say how many of the, what's the population of Linden?
The population of Linden is about 110 people.
And what is the connection?
I think we have 668 connections.
All residential?
Residential, we have, we mentioned a couple agricultural, like watering trough kind of things, and two commercial. Is that right? Lindell is pretty much a residential community. There's a gas station that's closed down, so it's not even an open account right now, and there's a agricultural feed mill.
Okay.
But other than that, it's pretty much a strictly residential community.
You briefly mentioned that you have industrial use in the future. What are you anticipating? Have you had any offers? Any MOUs?
Right. So Lindell has a zoned industrial park that's been annexed into the town. We feel like it's a viable site where it's got access to Highway 6, which is a fairly major highway. It's got rail access, power, you know, things like that. It's been zoned that way for a little while, but over the years there's been interest from companies like Saturn Car Manufacturing, the Department of Defense Missile Manufacturing. We've recently had a few look at it as far as some kind of mineral refinery type operations, but yeah, I mean, nothing has come to fruition, but there's definitely, it's not just sitting stagnant. There's the interest there, and we feel like it would be pretty critical or vital to the town to get, if something were to happen there, it would be a game changer for us. So we'd like to do everything we can to make that happen.
I was reading your minutes for a public hearing, and maybe a councilwoman can answer this. There were suggestions that we go for this loan or grant or combination. So what are your assessment? Are you here for the loan only, for the grant only, or you can do the combination at this stage? Because you've seen already what we have done for the previous applicants.
Well, we anticipate that when we go to drinking water and rural development, that those are going to be loans. So we're hoping that this can be all grant, because we're going to have those loans to pay off for the infrastructure when we update that.
But that will be in the future, but you don't have any debt service that I'm looking at, so...
Have no revenue source either.
We do have... We're currently paying on 3 debt service accounts for projects that were completed in 2005, I think. Two of those are payoff in the near future, and one of them still got a little ways to go. There they are, right there.
I'll take a stab at. Oh,
Mr. Glucky.
Back on the amount of water, and I think we all acknowledge the value of water. So you know, get as much as you can when you can. You also have to have discuss a little bit of how did you come up with 400 acre feet when you're only using 100 acre feet? And then also, do you have a plan in place, because you have to demonstrate that use, you know, you have to purchase them?
No, that's absolutely correct. To come up with the 400 acre feet, again, we took, again, their current uses, and we projected that over 40 years at a 2% growth, which may be aggressive, it may not be. And that came up with, I don't remember the exact numbers, that came up with maybe 250 acre feet over 40 years, including, when we do that, you've got your connections, you've also got your outdoor spaces that are irrigated, parks, cemetery, all that plays into that. And then we looked at, okay, what would it take to support a medium-sized industry, an ag industrial process, or even a slaughterhouse? It's very water intensive. Said, okay, if we take 2 or 3 of those, that takes us another 150 acre feet. That's generally how we got up the 400 acre feet to determine that. Yes, you do need to show use on it, but these water rights are actually already municipal water rights, and the city's been using them, which is one of the beauties of it, is they can potentially transfer that over as a municipal right and then protect it with a 40-year plan showing how they intend to use those in 40 years. And as that time comes, they can revise that plan to protect those water rights into the future.
So a municipal water right is, you only have to demonstrate, so they don't have to demonstrate use of the other 300 acre feet?
That's correct.
You can hold it for future growth.
They can.
Yes, Councilman Farrell.
On your calculation, you show that an ERU or an ERC is 1 acre foot when the state standard is 0.45. So how come you show it 1 acre foot?
Are you referring to the exhibit up here?
Yeah.
So it's only 0.4?
Indoor use, the state's 0.45.
Sure. 0.45 for indoor use.
Yes.
And then the outdoor use, that in consultation with Clyde Snow and Sessions, the water rights attorney, that there's a difference between what the state recommends on the drinking water side to cover the necessary water usage, and then what the duty is for outdoor usage from the Division of Water Rights. And I believe it's four acre feet per acre per year for the Division of Water Rights to cover that right. So that's how we came
that's
up with
what the state duty is.
Right.
Millard County.
Correct.
It's 4 acre feet, huh?
Yeah.
Four acre feet per irrigated acre. But I'm on the on you're indicating. Oh, okay.
For indoor use, the 0.45 it actually breaks down to about 400 gallons per ERC per day.
Per day.
And that's an equivalent value there.
Okay, lots of questions. Are we anywhere to Commissioner Winterton?
Well, we have in the past always made water rights grants, and recognizing that this town, if it's going to continue to exist, needs to have a drink of water. I would make a motion that we grant this to them. And with the understanding that when they come back, that there needs to be a plan in place to take loan. So 100% grant.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Winterton, $1,425,000 grant, seconded by Councilman Farrell. Any further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's on the priority list for next month's funding meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bring Nephi City up to the table and turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 10 on the agenda today is from Nephi City. It's a new public works building. They have $400,000 in cash. The request to CIB is for $605,941, which consists of a $356,020 year at 2.5% loan and a $249,941 grant. This consists of the earthwork grading and concrete flatwork for a 13,600 square foot metal building. We'll have a large shop, 5 drive-through bays, a training area, storage, and office space. This will house water and sewer, natural gas, streets and drainage, and parks and cemeteries departments. It will also include a security system. I hope more information was actually given at the public hearing than is indicated in the minutes that were provided. They state that the water and sewer department currently occupies an old Jueb High School gym. The natural gas department is located at the National Guard Armory. The streets department has outgrown the building that they're in, and the building is also having some structural issues due to age. It wasn't stated how old that building was. Parks and cemeteries department does not have a facility to house their equipment. The city is proposing to construct one building that will house all those departments and provide the crews with the necessary equipment and amenities to allow them to complete their work with more efficiency. And it does make sense. I comment on where all of the departments were located because that's very creative thinking. But can you take this as a 100% loan? A 20-year loan for the total amount at 2.5% would be $39,000 a year.
Okay, with that, we have our applicants with us. If you want to introduce yourselves for us.
I'm Seth Atkinson. I'm the city administrator.
And I'm Kyle Marchant. I'm the public works director.
Great. Thank you.
And then just to maybe add on to some of the comments that were offered by Candace, the buildings that are thinking are in the worst shape were constructed in the 30s. And so we feel like we've gotten our dollars worth out of those buildings, and they're in pretty bad shape. As I think it's stated in there, one of them is actually condemned to the public, and so our water and sewer department use it mostly for storage, but that is kind of their home base. We really do need something to put these departments in. Another hope that if we can consolidate them is that we can maybe reduce the number of or the pieces of equipment that we have and create more sharing amongst the departments. And so we hope to create some efficiencies by housing them all in the same building.
Okay, let's go to the board. Well, Commissioner Winterton.
Jump to the chase here. Yep. How about if we just offer 100% loan, you keep your cash, so we give you a loan for 20 years at 2.5%, so it'd be $1.4 million.
$1.5 million. Well, yeah, you have to round to the nearest thousand.
Yeah, okay.
But you could do $1.6 million because it's 941.
Would that be an option that you could take it all loan and you could be on your way?
Well, any chance we could extend that out to a 25-year term
building? We could.
How about 30 years? Can you do 30 years?
30 years.
We could.
Let's go.
Do
25.
I hear?
Years. I mean, they've gone 50 years now, but 30 years. If you could do that, I'd also amend it to suspend and fund today if you take a loan.
Second. Okay, so I think we heard a motion from Commissioner Winterton.
$1.6 million.
I heard a second, so that must imply that a motion was made. Commissioner Winterton's motion is a $1,006,000 loan, 30-year, 2.5%. And that was seconded by Commissioner Mattson, and suspend and fund.
And they keep the cash.
Yep. Yes, yep.
How does suspend and fund help them on a deal like this? Don't they have to go through the whole process to close the loan? And
but they don't have to drive all the way back from Deep.
They can't spend the grant money. Oh, so
they would have to come next month to find out whether we did it or not.
Yeah, that's the one thing right there, yes. An additional meeting is what it saves them. That's the motions on the table. Any other further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, you're good to go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I think Commissioner Winterton's getting hungry or something. he's moving these along here. Got two projects left, and then we can do lunch. So, Town of Bryan Head.
They don't get a check.
No, we'll have to have.
Okay, turn some time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 11 on the agenda today is from the Town of Bryan Head. This is for new water line and the Cedar Breaks Mountain Estates for fire protection, I believe. They have $732,648 in applicant cash. The request is for $732,648 in grant. This will be to install approximately 8,600 lineal feet of 8-inch water transmission line with gate valves, air vac valves, and tie-ins to the existing pump station. The reconfiguration of pumps and controls to contain water from the 1 million gallon water tank, and I believe they already have it, to the salt pile tank. This is to accommodate the salt pile tank's water supply and fire flow and a control valve. It will also include some road work, road base, and asphalt on Mountain View Drive and Forest Drive. Bryan Head currently supports 1,500 utility connections in and around the town limits. The scope of the project is for a dedicated water line that will go down Mountain View Drive. The transmission line total is $717,000. This is the breakout. The water line total is $599,664. The booster pump total is $147,906. So the total amount of the project is $1,465,296. A 20-year loan of the total amount would be 2.5% interest. At 2.5% interest would be $94,000 a year, but that's a 20-year loan. If the award is a loan, they need legal expenses also because there is none indicated. That's the project.
Okay, great. Introduce yourselves for us.
I'm Dan Benson. I'm the Public Safety Director, a.k.a. Fire Chief for Bryanhead.
Brett Hauser, I'm the Town Manager.
Aldo Biasi, I'm the Public Works Director.
Great. Anything you want to add?
You bet. Just a little bit of context around the area that we're proposing to put these water lines into. The neighborhood is actually kind of the original neighborhood in Bryanhead. It actually predates the incorporation of Bryanhead Town. And it's kind of the older part of town. And you know, you think of Bryanhead, you might think resort town, big, expensive homes. This is not the neighborhood that that's not the case in the neighborhood we're talking about. These are kind of the cabins that Grandpa built with his bare hands sort of thing. And it also happens to be the area of town where most of our permanent population, at least the portion that resides in single-family homes, that's where they reside. I presume this is in your numbers, it's actually our permanent population is actually not particularly wealthy. The median income for them is kind of low, and they tend to work in the service industry there, and wages aren't all that great. The area, as I mentioned, wasn't originally incorporated into Bryanhead. It was annexed into town about 10 or 15 years ago, somewhere in that range. I'm not exactly sure what their plan was at that point to get water into the area, but there were certainly some hurdles for them to get over. We've been working on those hurdles. We've put quite a bit of money, mostly loans that we've taken through both through CIB and USDA, to secure the water rights and get the wet water sources developed to be able to get enough water eventually up to the salt pile tank that we've got to get it up to. Now we're actually trying to work on the actual transmission and distribution projects. A little bit more context, rates for water in Bryanhead are pretty high. Our base rate is $76. Relative to the income, at least of our permanent population, that's pretty high. One of the big reasons for that is because we came to the water game late. We didn't incorporate till 1974, and so we're playing catch up, and it's pretty expensive these days, getting hold of water rights and developing the water sources, this sort of thing, and we've been really playing a lot of catch up on that, and have had to go into quite a bit of debt. We have, I think, $7.5 million of outstanding water debt, which is quite a bit for the size of our system. That's quite a bit, and so we feel like we're kind of under, that we're kind of underwater, I guess, in the water fund, so we are asking for a grant this time. Real quick, I wanted to give Dan just a couple minutes to explain the fire protection aspect of this particular project.
So probably most of you are aware of the Bryanhead fire that was just a little over a year ago. You can see on this map where the fire actually originated, and it came right up to that boundary of town. That phase one is the new annexation that we inherited a few years back. And we were able to stop the fire with the use of heavy air tankers before it actually entered the town. In that area, is, like Brett said, is where the homes are. We would have not been able to use heavy air tankers to suppress or fight that fire had it crossed that town boundary. So luckily, things lined up for us. The time of year, having an air tanker base in Cedar City and things like that really helped us to stop and suppress that fire on that town boundary. However, that's not going to be the case in most instances. We would have to go direct with fire trucks, with fire engines, using water sources like extinguisher or hydrants and things like that. So this would be crucial to us to get that into that area of town. We inherited it about 10 years ago. You need to be careful what you wish for. We have a very active CWPP, that's Community Wildland Preparedness Program, and they've done a great job in our core of town and cleaning and having people clean up their lots and mitigate the fuels there. And then we inherited that area, which we always says, man, that's a problem area for us. And so now it's our problem, and we have been active in there and trying to get lot owners to clean and clear their lots. So the next phase is getting water in there so that we could actually be aggressive in fighting fire should it start in that area.
The project itself and the lines, you probably have this in your application, but the lines, transmission line would run from this tank down here, the million-gallon tank, to the salt pile tank up there. We already have distribution lines in the blue area, and we need to get distribution lines into the red area there, and that's the second portion of the project. So we had saved up enough money to do this first portion of the project, but with the illustration that last year's fire gave us of the importance of getting down into that area sooner rather than later with distribution lines, we're hoping that we can get some grant money to round out the project and get it done.
Okay, go to the board for questions. Mr. Zanotti.
So with a population of 83 people, how did you manage to save $732,000?
Well, we do have quite a few second homes and condos in town. Really, a few years ago, our water rates were much lower, and we did quite a few increases. Well, we've done several increases in our water rates over the last 5 years to begin to be able to set aside a certain amount of money every year. We try to set aside $200,000 a year towards capital renewal and replacement, and we've been taking money from that set aside each year to start putting towards this project.
So you mentioned you have some money saved for the future expansion. That is not this $732,000. That is separate money?
No, that's the money that we have saved up, the $732,000.
The same thing. So today, if we give you the cash to keep the cash and convert this grant to loan, to total amount to loan, will you be able to handle that?
Not without raising rates.
I mean, even if they're keeping the cash in your pocket, we'll just do the loan at $1.5 million, 20%.
I don't believe we'd be able to.
Because you're keeping the cash to use for the emergencies that you're going to do with future expansions.
I'd have to look at what our next projects are and how much we could do. It might keep us from saving, from raising rates for a few years, but eventually we would have to raise rates to be able to continue to shift over to pay as we go rather than debt financing on everything while paying additional debt at the same time. Eventually we'd have to raise rates.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Glucky?
Yeah, I guess this is a question for Lisa. Is why wasn't, usually we have a breakdown from you as far as their water rates and Magi and such.
Right. So when this came across, we thought it was a fire flow project solely.
Oh, it's solely fire flow. I thought it doesn't feed those homes, that there's no drinking water involved with this. It's only fire suppression.
The homes may eventually hook onto the system. We want them to hook onto the system, but our primary purpose and what the project has been designed for is to get fire protection into the area.
I guess in the future, Lisa, even though it's just that, I would like to see what their Magi and such is.
I'm pretty sure we're well over that 1.75% threshold that you guys use. I know in 2015 we were the fourth lowest median income in the state. I don't know what the updated numbers on that are.
I think you said, what your water rate is or your general monthly?
The base rate is $76 a month.
So that's pretty low. That's down there with Grant County.
So I know, based on the 2015 numbers that I glanced at earlier, the 1.75% would have been like $28 a month or something like that, and we're up at 76. So.
Like three times that.
Yeah.
One more comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Chief didn't mention that they also, right after the major fire, they had also devastation of the floods. That was just really ruined the community, the streets, and some other water sources that they had, because we were there with the UDOT trying to help them to clean out the water. We came all the way to the I-15. the flood debris and everything. So they're in need of some money, that's for sure. I'm going to be brave enough to make a motion to approve the grant as requested, the fact that they have already backing of the $732,648 of their own skin.
I'd second it.
Okay, I think Commissioner Winterton seconded it first. So the motion by Mr. Zanotti is to approve a $732,648 grant, seconded by Commissioner Winterton. Discussion to that motion?
I'd just make a comment. You know, if this was a top mineral producing county, you know, when they come in with matching money, we usually grant this without discussion. And I just want to commend them. Yeah. They've been proactive. They've got a very aggressive plan in trying to save money for their needs. And so, I'm 100% behind this application as far as they've planned.
Okay. Seeing no further comments, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. It'll be on the priority list for next month's funding meeting. And this next project will be our last project because the Apple Valley will be deferred to a future meeting. So let's try to get done with our last project, Enix City, and invite them up to the table and turn the time over to Candace for the briefing.
Number 12 on the agenda today is from Enix City. The project is a building expansion. It's fire truck storage. The request is for a $44,000 grant from CIB. This project would be a 25-foot by 50-foot building expansion of the Public Works Sewer Building located at 4854 North, 600 East in Enix, to include footings, foundation, floor, garage doors, man doors, a coated controller for access, insulation and electrical, and a natural gas heater. To clarify the discussion that developed in the Enix City public hearing held May 16, it said the quality and cost to ship on a lowboy trailer were not worth the end result. The application you're currently looking at is to add on to an existing building. So I think they got a free building. The free building is more expensive just to get it here. So this is a quote and it says, as of 5/22/2018, and it says that quote is only good for 14 days, so is that quote still good? It's for a 50 by 25 by 14 building. It was $24,862. And my question would be, what is this metal building going to sit on? Is there a foundation? You're going to pay for that yourself. And it includes an HVAC system for $1,646.18.
Great. Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about this project.
Last the best of all the game,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
My name is Rob Dotson. I'm the city manager of Enix City. And good question. The footing and foundation is in the quote, the project budget.
Yes, it is.
For $12,000. That was a verbal quote by a local contractor. Yes, we had previously, we contracted with Cedar City Fire Department for our fire protection, both wildland interface and for residential. Our little pizza place is a great commercial establishment if you're ever down that area. That's about it. That's what you get, and the Family Dollar. So most of Enix City is residential, and we contract with Cedar City Fire Department with an interlocal agreement that, and we pay that funding through our property tax and through the valuation is a percentage of the total of the protection they do for Cedar City and Iron County. So we pay a hefty chunk of our general fund for that protection. Our Cedar City Fire Department Fire Chief Mike Phillips is very proactive in providing service, but he's also trying to help the ISO rating which is the International Organization of Standardization, which is used by insurance companies to determine rates for fire protection insurance, home insurance, and other things. And so in doing so, the fire chief asked if he could house one of their fire engines in our public works, one of our public works buildings. Well, in the winter, it has to be heated. That's a requirement. So he does so. So we cram the fire truck, the fire engine, in with our snow plows and all of our other equipment. And there's a gate and another door, which the fire department, when there is a call in the area, they send a volunteer firefighter to get that piece of equipment with two sets of keys. And it becomes, I don't know, it takes 6 minutes, 5 to 6 minutes for the fire engines to come from Cedar City to Enoch City to take care of a fire. And with that, takes a little longer. I guess if they don't have the right key, that's a problem, but that's up to them. So in our conversations, Chief Phillips had found, was offered this building in Ibapah. I've never heard of Ibapah.
My question. Where is it?
It's in the West Desert. Really? It's out
by
there.
North of Trout Creek.
South of Wendell.
Well, it's about 7 or 8 hours from where we're at. And so we thought, well, we'd go look at it. We need to see what it is. It ends up being a Quonset hut-type building split in half that was used back in the old MX days, missile days, I guess, or something. Well, getting that to Enoch City and finding a place to put it and putting a foundation and everything under it was more than we really figured we could do, and we didn't want to do something halfway. So we got a few quotes on adding to an existing sewer. The sewer company owns a building which is not heated and is used for keeping equipment in, including lawnmowers, et cetera. And we got some quotes to actually add to that building a new section, the same size, width, a little bit to lengthen the building, and put two doors, a couple of man doors and two roll-up doors with electric that they could just punch a code in, and the fire engine will just stay there in a heated building. So that's where we're coming. I'm representing 6,500 residents and the mayor and city council, requesting $44,000. Any overage, we would absorb that by, I don't know, maybe not eating lunch up here today afterwards. So I'll donate that lunch money to absorb any extra costs that may come up. That's all.
Okay, questions from the board?
My only question was, it didn't say anything about the fire truck, so I thought maybe the request for a fire truck would come next. He's explained it, they already have one that they would just house.
Which we're doing now, yes.
Yep.
And it's not our fire truck, which means we have a 15-page agreement that some attorney wrote up so that we can house it there.
Since Commissioner Willett is hungry to eat, so let's make the motion to approve the as requested.
Motion by Mr. Zanotti. Is there a second?
Yep.
A second from Commissioner Ogden to approve a $44,000 grant. Any further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries.
Thank you.
That's
very much
on the priority list for next week's
awesome.
Next month's funding meeting.
Mayor Seth, you're awesome.
Yeah, thank you. We don't have any other applications to consider this time. Is there any other action item that needs to come before the board?
Who's praying for the lunch?
Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned. There is a lunch for board members.